The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. I just zoomed across town from Anoka to Eden Prairie because we just had Ghost Stories and Beyond tonight. We had Tom Maurer on, who is the state director of MUFON, and I mean this in the best way. Somebody, you know, those tin soldiers that you wind up and you let them go? That was Tom tonight. He was going like mad, and he knows what he's talking about. It was a great conversation. We're going to have him back. We're going to have him back on the show, too, at some point. But, yeah, he was going. It was great. And he really answered a lot of questions. We had a pretty packed house tonight out there, and we're really excited. So thank you, Tom, very much for joining us. It's really been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get him back, not only at Ghost Stories and Beyond, but also for the show again, too. And the next Ghost Stories and Beyond is going to be November 1st. There is a guest that we've reached out to take part, but we haven't heard back from him yet, so I don't want to announce it. He's checking to see if he's available. A little bit different direction this time, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely keep it, always be looking out on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook, or Sharvinity, and on Facebook as well, and we'll tell you what's going on. Now, tonight, I think it's going to be a really fantastic program, and I'm really looking forward to having listener interaction. Really, the only way we can do that tonight, though, is through the comments on Facebook. So if you are listening on the radio but want to take part, please go to Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook and take part and put in your comments. So I replayed it last night because last night we were at the advanced screening for The Exorcist Believer. We're going to talk about that Thursday and Friday. But we replayed this episode last night with Robert Robinson, who is a Bigfoot researcher, I think it's the best way. He's a good friend of mine. We've talked over many, many years. Last time he was on, we played some sounds, and he was giving us his idea. But the thing about Robert is that he sees, as far as I'm concerned, he sees Bigfoot as a very much a creature or a group of creatures who live in a forest, and I think that is really about it. They're elusive, they're intelligent, but they're more like in the sort of the, he thinks of more in the line of like a deer or something like that. I have a different thought on that, but I didn't say anything during the program. But my guest tonight, Ernie Pack, who've had on many times, and him and Denise work for Fort Duffield in West Point, Kentucky. They do, there's all sorts of things you can do out there, paranormal investigations, tours, campsite, all sorts of good stuff. Go to Haunting at Fort Duffield on Facebook to get more information about this wonderful location. It actually probably plays into much of what we're talking about tonight as well. But during one of the segments, Ernie sent me a text, and he's just like, Robert keeps calling Sasquatch an animal, and these are not animals. And I thought, well, I agree with Ernie 100%, and we're going to explain why that is. But the thing was, it's like, at that point, I'm like, Ernie, why don't you come on, and we'll talk about this? Because normally, you see that I get Ernie on, and we kind of just jab each other back and forth. But the one thing that Ernie is really good at is he has a very good mind for paranormal, for all the stuff him and his wife, Denise, have experienced a lot of things. So I really wanted to bring him on so we could have a really good conversation about this. It's controversial in our field, and I'd love your opinions on it. But Ernie, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Well, it's great to be back, Greg. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too. I'm glad that you're feeling better, and that I think the real takeaway is that you can't look at these creatures at face value, right?
Right. I mean, you know, you see, for example, the Patterson-Gimlin footage, which you've talked about on this show. You broke it down. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody that's ever heard of Bigfoot has heard of the Patterson-Gimlin footage. And you see this creature walking across that dry creek bed, and it looks like a big ape, an animal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so people naturally think of Bigfoot as an animal.
Yep.
But yet, even the people who believe in Bigfoot, they have to question why there's not a body,
mm-hmm.
why we don't have a great clear photograph or great inconclusive or, you know, solid conclusive scientific evidence to back up the fact that they exist. And my opinion on that is simply that people are looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for an animal. And this is more of a transdimensional or energy type being. And when they know you're there, they do not show themselves so much. You will not be able to photograph them.
And so the thought process here is that if it were just an animal, even one of a little bit higher intelligence, we would have been having more of an existence with these creatures by now, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, you've got FLIR cameras, you've got drones, you've got IR, you've got every kind of scientific device known to man that has been used in the search for Bigfoot. And none of that has produced anything.
Yeah.
Yet there are still thousands upon thousands of sightings and encounters reported worldwide by some very credible people, including the two people on this screen right now.
Yep.
And if it's just a animal, how is it so elusive? How are we not finding one? How are we not capturing one or finding a body of one? It, to me, it's a far bigger stretch to think that there's an animal out there that's so elusive, so cunning, so sly, that with all of this technology, we've not caught one. We've not caught a good photo or a great piece of physical evidence, anything like that to, you know, once and for all say, yes, there it is. It's a bigger stretch to think that an animal could exist under those circumstances than to think of this creature as an interdimensional being, which is basically an energy being capable of cloaking, capable of basically disappearing.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I'll even take it a step further, Ernie, is that it's not even, I mean, it's all those, and also the ability, as I saw firsthand for you, an ability to affect a person.
Yes. Yeah. We can talk about that. We were, you were there.
Yep.
We were in an undisclosed location in southern Indiana,
yep,
where we've had several encounters, including one of the most epic encounters that I could ever imagine anyone ever having.
Mm-hmm.
And you had been touched in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, by something that was not there, but you said it was like a big hand touched you,
yep,
gently on the back of your head.
Yep.
And so we were back in that same area and turned around and started walking back toward camp. And I felt a huge hand in the middle of my back.
Mm-hmm.
And then this jolt of electricity went through me that brought me to my knees. I mean, I was not thinking about this, was not, you know, I was in perfect health. No reason for this at all, but I dropped to my knees there in the forest.
You did.
And was, you know, just breath was taken. I was rattled there for a while. It was kind of weird.
It was. I mean, as you remember, you may not remember, my first instinct was, yes, he's dying. But yeah. See, I couldn't go too far. I mean, we made it what? We made it 10 minutes in.
That's
a record.
Didn't
actually
make it to the first break.
No, we couldn't do that. But in all seriousness, though, it was actually pretty frightening because no one knew what was going on. I was touched on my head. It was pretty transformational for me. But of course, you had to one up it. And it was pretty serious, though. I mean, you drop to your knees. Do you have any idea? Because I think, you know, especially you and Denise are very in tune with energy. Do you have any idea why that happened to you? What sort of message was trying to be given to you?
Well, if you remember, you actually broke out the spirit box.
I did.
And we asked. And we got a response, if you remember. He needed it.
Like a healing then?
Yeah. Like I needed an energy boost, but maybe they just hit me with more than I was ready to accept.
It's like you flew back into the forest and we never saw you again. it was pretty powerful. And you know, with that and with my touch, all night we have been hearing something, not one thing, multiple things moving around in the woods.
Yes.
With those two incidences, we never heard anything like leading up to something coming up behind me or something coming up behind you with that energy.
No. And that's what's so convincing to me that these are indeed not simply an animal, because they can be right up on you. They are huge. They can be right up on you and you not know it until they make it known.
Until you do, and that's very much the case. But, you know, I think something that you had touched on, and I think it's very important, like, in my opinion, the most important aspect of what we're trying to talk about with the energy beings, and that we are, you know, we're in charge, in a sense, of if Sasquatch wants to see us or not, right? We right. actually have that ability, and they make that decision whether or not we are worthwhile, worth their time, worth their energy to actually make any kind of appearance.
Absolutely. And you know, it's just like we say, and I'm sure you talk about it in your paranormal seminars, the energy you bring to an investigation or to the forest has a lot to do with what you're going to get out of that investigation or that trip to the forest.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something that Squatchman Greg Yost talks to us about all the time. You know, you bring high energy, you bring positive energy. You're not threatening. You're not out to do wrong or do harm. And you're going to have a better chance of having an experience. And like Denise said, they have communicated with us using the same equipment like we just touched on, the spirit box.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had REM pods, we've had millimeters, we've had EDIs, we've had all kinds of equipment out there in the forest. And got an interaction through what we think is the forest people.
And once again, calling them the forest people, I think is a very important aspect of what we're talking about here as well. Because I was just thinking about this when you had said that. You know, because there's people who wonder if, like, Sasquatches have something to do with alien life, if they have something to do with UFOs, everything else. In my opinion, whatever that's worth, that is not the case. They are truly, you know, they're one with the earth, they're one with nature. And one of the reasons why, and we just have a couple minutes before break, but one of the reasons why is the appearance of elementals that always seem to be around when we're going to get some sort of Squatch activity.
Yeah, we've had some weird sightings of other creatures that are, you know, like mythical creatures, basically. What are they called? Puck wedgies, weird little goblin-looking things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, you know, different types of elementals we've sighted there in those same forests where we've had these Sasquatch encounters.
You know, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, I did,
no,
but I didn't.
But I will say that I do feel like even with the UFOs and the aliens, I think that there's a lot of energy. I think that, you know, if there's creatures visiting us from another planet, I think they obviously are far more in tune with the energy that they possess within their being, just like a Sasquatch or just like a deceased human spirit. Yes,
absolutely. And I think that's important to talk about, you know, during for later in this show. And I think what I'm going to want to do right now, let's take our first break. We got a lot to unpack here still. This is really, actually really cool to talk about. I have a lot of comments in the comment section I want to get to. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. If you disagree, let us know. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We have on as our guest tonight, we have Mr. Ernie Pack from Pac-Man Paranormal, Fort Duffield in West Point, Kentucky, which is truly an amazing place. And what we found out just by being there is a location for such creatures as we are talking about tonight. And Ernie, I struggle all the time to wonder what I call them, because I just said creatures, but I don't know if that's the right thing. Do we just call them entities? We call them beings. What are your thoughts?
I see we've got in the comments over there the one and only Squatch Man himself, Greg Yost. He calls them the forest people, and I try to stick with that myself. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to communicate with people who don't necessarily understand that, I will call them a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch from time to time. Yeah. I call them beings, though, more than
beings.
When I'm just generalizing, I'll call them a being.
No, I mean, and that's that. I think that's a great way of doing it. A couple comments that we have currently. Linda says that it could be these multidimensional beings are here to be enticing for investigators to search for something to talk about. They're here to actually open up conversation. It sounds like to break the ice about inner dimensions. That's an interesting point. I mean, is it some kind of test? Because not everyone wants to do that. Not everyone wants to. I mean, even within the people who believe such beings exist, they're not necessarily doing like they don't all believe the way that we believe.
Right. And, you know, people in our field have been talking for the past 4 or 5 years about how the veil seems to be getting thinner and thinner and thinner all the time between our world and the spirit world, or the energy world, if you will. And it seems like, you know, the government is piecemealing us little pieces of information here and there to try to make people more desensitized to the thoughts of UFOs, for example. Mm-hmm. I think everything is coming to some type of giant disclosure eventually, that we are getting closer and closer to all the time. And what Linda's saying might be just a little piece of that, you know, what we're talking about here.
No, that makes sense. And it's certainly, you know, it's like just because something exists doesn't mean that we have to know about it, right?
Right.
And maybe there's something that to be said that you have to earn the right to be able to, you know, it's like anything really. It's like, you know, if there's a bike gang or something, maybe you have to prove yourself to be, you know, hang out with us,
right?
Sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Now, Denise, who you may know, she says that Squatchman, who apparently is watching, or at least stopped in for a second, Mr. Greg Yost, Squatchman thinks that they're godly people, and we've never felt threatened around them. And I think that's a really important part. I think both those points seem to be very, very accurate from my limited experience with what we've been doing with this.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you, you know, the first time I had a up close, I guess, encounter was about 3 years ago, maybe four now. Mm-hmm. We were in a place they call Gates of Hell. Mm-hmm. It's Casey Cemetery, and we were doing a live stream. And Squatchman was going to be there. He hadn't gotten there yet. It was Denise, myself, and another gentleman. And we were standing there by our van, and we heard something huge coming up through the woods. And it was very close to us, and it was very big, and it was moving very fast. And I did get scared and felt threatened at that moment. I'll say it.
Yeah.
And of course, Denise ran straight toward it. But since talking with, I had not met Squatchman before that. Okay.
Yep.
Met him the next day. He started explaining his philosophies and his interactions with them. And since then, we've had several encounters, and I've not felt threatened at all. And like that night that we talked about where I got jolted or whatever you want to call it, I felt like that was a gift, you know, and it I felt blessed to get it. It's weird. I know it sounds crazy to people who've never experienced anything like that, or, you know, think of them as an animal, but it was totally not like that at all.
And I mean, where would that have come from anyway? And it's not like you had something and that was it, or I had something and that was it. We both had an experience, and then other experiences were happening outside of you and I at that time, like with Shar and Kim seeing individuals down far away walking, and they're thinking that they're actually campers, and they're not. I mean, there's just, and then let alone, as we kind of alluded to a little bit, the elementals, and that I don't think that could be glossed over, because that's a very important part of it. It seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like once you, open up to this mindset, and you know, your energy kind of matches what it needs to match, you experience everything. I never would have thought I would be sitting on a radio show saying I've seen fairies.
Yeah.
Because I never believed in fairies. But we saw fairies that night, that all of that happened there in the forest. And, you know, Brad Webb mentioned it over in the comments. We've all seen it. And it's all about energy. I mean, that's why I totally believe that they are either transdimensional, interdimensional, extra dimensional, whatever, or they're simply an energy being just like a spirit that happens to be able to take the form of what we call a Bigfoot.
Absolutely. And you know, that interaction you had at the Gates of Hell, before that happened, did you see Squatch as like a energy being, or did you see it more as like Robert would see it, as an animal or something?
I was a believer in all of the things that you see Dr. Meldrum talk about. Most of the big researchers in the field, they talk about an undiscovered primate. They call it the missing link.
Yep.
You know, the word Sasquatch itself comes from the southwestern part of British Columbia. It's Sasquatch, and it means hairy man, tall hairy man. And, you know, I thought of it as something along those lines. And then when we, I guess the first thing that kind of changed my opinion was Denise had seen there at the Gates of Hell, and she just stopped and turned around and she described to me what she saw. She said, I just saw, and this is going to sound crazy, but you know how Predator looked when he was running through the woods, when you couldn't really see him, but it was just like pixels moving, or, you know, like a mirrored image of something moving through there. She said, I just saw that. And I was like, okay, you're crazy, but sure. And then 5 minutes later, I saw the same thing. And then when, Squatchman got down there, we told him about it, and he said, yeah, you saw one cloaking.
Yeah.
And when they cloak, that's how they look.
I think let's blow people's minds here real fast, because I think that people might be understanding, and I don't mean everybody, I don't mean to lump everyone in, but there's people who will be like, I'm on the bandwagon of them being energy creatures. But so Char puts up this comment, and she says that she believes that this is why she had her second experience, because of the energy connection. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is that the second encounter, because we were all together for what we'll call our first encounter. You've had other encounters, but as a group, our first encounter. She had this encounter outside of Mankato, Minnesota. And what it kind of blows people's minds that you have talked about, Greg Yost has talked about, is that if she saw another Sasquatch outside of Mankato, Minnesota, it's not impossible to believe that it is the same Squatch that she experienced at Fort Duffield in West Point, Kentucky.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I don't know if people... I think that might be, because it's not like they get on a train and come up to Mankato.
Right.
It's all part of the trans-dimensional side of it.
And the energy side of it. You know, you hear people talk about spirit attachments all the time. How a spirit will follow a person from a place to place, you know, from place to place. I firmly believe that these forest people have that very, very same ability to attach to a person. If you bring an energy that they are attracted to, you know, they're going to be with you, and they will opt to show themselves in multiple places. Greg has talked about, Greg Yost has talked about traveling to the Pacific Northwest to do some Bigfooting. He's got a forest person that he's very close to in his forest up there in southern Indiana that he calls Big Red. And he encountered Big Red out, I believe it was in Montana or something. And,
that's right. Yes.
You know, it's hard to imagine, but now, I don't doubt it a bit.
Now, what Char didn't tell us about is that she had another encounter with a creature I'm not familiar with. And that is Bugfoot.
Bugfoot.
I mean, I that was a new one on me. But you know, I'm looking forward to finding out more about Bugfoot, and we'll have an episode about Bugfoot. Folks, I'm just giving y'all a hard time. She misspelled Bigfoot and put an I, a U instead of an I, so it's now Bugfoot.
Right.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, but it is. but she redeems herself that she says, I believe that it's true that it's the same Squatch. The energy was familiar, and this is coming from someone who reads energy for a living. This is what they do. This is their gifts, just like the spirits are familiar, and you know who is there by their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing too. Is that that as we talked about on here, you and I talked about, Char and I talked about, in fact, I believe it was actually said tonight at Ghost Stories and Beyond by Tom Maurer, everything is, you know, the way that we go about reaching out to these beings, spirits, aliens, it's all the same because it's all energy.
Absolutely.
And Tom said tonight, because he said people always wonder, you know, how do they get a chance to see a spaceship or be, you know, have some sort of alien interaction? And Tom would say to them, well, have you asked for it? And that is exactly what we do, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, Squatch Man, the most epic encounter that I touched on earlier that I can imagine, Denise, myself, our daughter Cora was there with Squatch Man. And he walked out to the forest, raised his hands, and said, my friends, this might be my last night here. I'm moving. I would love it if you could do something epic for me tonight.
Yeah.
Could you put on a show? And within about 15 seconds, seven trees fell in that forest all around us. And they were huge trees.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wind, no rain, no nothing, no reason for this other than he had asked for it and they did it.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, like you said, you just ask for it.
And trees don't fall. Seven trees do not fall coincidentally.
Right. And they were all a safe distance away from us, and they were all around us. I mean, you know, in a complete circle around us.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. It was pretty freaking awesome.
And a couple minutes before we go to break, but Denise says that we recently learned that they can follow you home after an investigation, just like spirits. We found a footprint in our dining room after a weekend in the forest. And it's not one of your big Neanderthal feet, is it? It's actually
No. I mean, I wear a size 13, but this footprint was way bigger than mine. And this was at a time we had just moved into the house and we hadn't started cleaning that area yet. Mm-hmm. And this house was filthy when we first got in here. And this track was left in the dust there the morning after we had been Bigfooting. And we felt like maybe one had followed us home.
And why wouldn't they, right?
I mean, honestly, why wouldn't they?
Well, I mean, that's certainly absolutely not what I was trying to convey here. It was more of just the idea of, I mean, Denise is awesome. So there might have been some of that going on. But, you know, just the idea of, like, you know, if they like you, why not?
Why not? Maybe
they're just checking in or something.
Exactly. I firmly believe it. I mean,
I'm just curious. I wonder how many people who are listening that this is such a foreign concept, you know, that it's a really tough one. And I have to admit that when I had somebody who said the same thing about bringing forward aliens and stuff. I'm not talking about Tom Maurer tonight. I'm talking about years ago. I just, like, that was a hard one for me to understand. Now I'm in a different place. This is really kind of a mind blowing conversation. It probably is a mind blowing conversation for a few people, I would think.
Yeah, and I would hope so, honestly, because it is so frustrating to me to see people put so much effort, so much money, so much time into searching for something that they are not going to find. You are not going to find an animal in the forest called Bigfoot.
No.
You might find an energy being or a transdimensional being in the forest that you call Bigfoot, and it'll look just like the thing you were looking for, but it'll be totally different than the thing you're looking for.
Absolutely.
You won't find it by going hunting like you're hunting for an animal.
No, absolutely not. This is what I'd like to do right now. I'd like to take our second break. When we come back, we have some more discussion about this to talk about. There's actually a picture that we want to show. Not great if you're on the radio, but there's a lot more to talk about. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. You know, as I mentioned, we saw the advanced screening for the new Exorcist film, Exorcist Believer. And I thought, boy, it would be really interesting to bring on an exorcist and kind of do a comparison between what you see in the films when someone is possessed, all the really hard to believe, just crazy stuff. And how does that stack up to a real exorcism? So I'm going to have on tomorrow Bishop Christina Rake, and she's an exorcist. She's a demonologist. And we're going to be talking about just that. We're going to be talking about the case that The Exorcist was based on. We're going to be talking about a recent exorcism that she went through. And we're also going to be talking about those moments in the film that are truly frightening, truly incredible, and whether or not that is something that actually she has experienced on her own exorcisms or any of her peers. So definitely, please tune in tomorrow. I think that's going to be a fantastic program. I am talking with Mr. Ernie Pack, a Pac-Man Paranormal, Fort Duffield. Don't forget to go check out their page, A Haunting at Fort Duffield, or Hauntings at Fort Duffield, on Facebook, and you'll be able to see all the events that are going on around there. And, I mean, once again, Ernie, I mean, this is that location is pretty amazing, and I've been blessed to be able to, that you allowed us in there and to check it out.
Yeah, it's something that we did not expect. It was kind of an unknown to us. We had not fully investigated the place when we actually started hosting investigations there. We had done some little impromptu things up there. And by golly, it has delivered with spirit activity. And as you know, we have seen forest people up there. I had the last private overnight we hosted there. The entire group saw a Bigfoot walk all the way across the fort. It came up over the wall and went all the way through the fort and down into the woods.
The earthen wall?
Yeah, yeah. And that night, they actually had the trifecta. They saw a UFO as well. So there's a little bit of everything up there. It's amazing.
Now, Chaos says, a VP says, definitely a creepy place. And if you're talking about Fort Duffield, I don't know if I could agree with that. No offense. I don't think I can agree with that.
It's got an eerie vibe to it at night. It's totally different in the dark than it is in the day. When you go up there during the day, it's this beautiful, scenic, beautiful vistas, you know, on top of that hill, looking out over the river and the valley and all of that. And then at night, it takes on this, you know, creepy look, but it's the feel of the place is not creepy at all.
No. And I mean, because we kept getting that smell of candy. That it's truly from, you know, back in time. And but I mean, to keep it on track of what we've been talking about here, we got that that yowl from a Bigfoot. And that was truly an incredible moment, because that is like nothing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it was not a coyote. It was not a bear. It was not an animal, and it was not a threatening type of growl. You know, I mean, you can say it was a growl because it sounded like what people would describe as a growl, I guess. But it was more like almost like a yawn. You know, it was like I don't know. It was impersonating them, but it did kind of seem like that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything. As Denise says, they start howling when we leave. It's like they're telling the others we're gone. I kind of wondered what we were getting that night was kind of like, why are you still here? I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of what I kind of got out of that.
Yeah, like I said, like a yawn, like, oh gosh, they're still here.
Now, there's a couple things I want to get to before we're done here. One of them is talking about eyeshine and whatnot. But Joanne does have a question, and if we can get through that and then move on to other things. But Joanne asks, did you bring treats for the bean?
We did not that night. We usually do. Squatchman has found that they are pretty particular about raspberry-filled Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yep.
And we have proven that by taking a box of assorted donuts out there with one raspberry filled one in the box. And the box is cut open on the top. And the only donut missing out of the box was the raspberry filled. There was another cream filled donut in the box that there was a huge thumbprint in the middle of, but they had left it. It was like they stuck their thumb in there, licked it like, nope, not raspberry, and then reached in and grabbed the other one.
it just goes to show how intelligent, you know, that they are. I mean, everything that we've talked about tonight is intelligent, but really, maybe discerning as well, and maybe not just intelligent, but discerning. Like, you know,
right.
No, I like my raspberry, and you're messing around with me because you're not putting it in the box. But no, it's pretty incredible. Now, one of the things that is talked about, like on the programs, like the shows, if you watch them, is the idea of the concept of eye shine. And I think the thing that I took away that was really surprising to me was that, you know, I think of eye shine, I think of like reflection in a cat's eye, right? That it's that, you know, you shine a light at it and there's that sort of refraction, that sort of thing. But eye shine is absolutely not that at all. It is literally light, isn't it?
Yeah, they are self-illuminating. You saw it in Southern Indiana for sure. I'm not sure if you saw any of that night at Fort Duffield.
I don't recall seeing any that night in Fort Duffield, though.
But we've seen it several times. We have seen it at Fort Duffield. But their eyes literally will light up. And they are different colors. They're not one particular color. They're red, they're yellow, they're green, and blue, white. I've seen all different colors, though, the full spectrum.
And I saw what we believe might have been Big Red at the second night because it was red eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's where Greg picked the name for him was his red eyes.
Now I'd like to, if you're ready for it, I'd like to show the picture that you had provided me. What are we gonna look at here?
This is a photo that was taken by someone that was up there with us when we were up in Southern Indiana at Greg's hotspot. And we were back not too far from the gifting stump. You're familiar with where that's at.
Yep.
And, we could see these eyes off in the distance. As you're aware, that kind of slopes down a hill pretty quickly once you get off into the woods away from the stump.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was looking actually downhill, and the eyes are about eye level with where the picture was taken. So we've walked down there and tried to figure it out, and those eyes had to be at least 10 feet up.
Yeah.
And you'll see the picture. I mean, and this is not a reflection, this is self-illumination.
So for those on Facebook, I'm putting it up now, and it can't be a reflection because it's just too bright.
Yeah,
they're just too bright. And for those of you who are on listening on radio, I do apologize because we've been putting up a lot of pictures this week. But, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's what, you know, paranormal is sometimes, is being able to show stuff. So definitely if you want to rewatch this program, go to Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook. You know, the interesting thing about that picture, Ernie, is it kind of reminds me that there was a moment that night that I had Spirit Box out and I was kind of just using it by myself, and I saw Eyeshine, and I said, are you, I was talking and I was getting some responses to the box, and the Eyeshine went away. And I said, oh, did you leave me? And suddenly the Eyeshine reappears, but it's much closer to me. And, you know, as much as we're all like, yeah, this is, you know, they're beautiful beings and stuff. It's a little something. Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. I mean, this is, you know, this is a huge being and it's an unknown, you know, I mean, it's what we grew up thinking of as a monster, you know?
Yeah.
And there it is, you know, getting closer to you and you can't see it or hear it coming.
No, because like I said, it disappeared and it just showed up. But it was also during that point, and this is where we talk about, you know, the kindness. There has to be kindness. It's not, we're not out there with guns. We're not out there with anything other than the open heart. And I know this sounds, you know, 60s and flower power and everything.
We sound like a couple of hippies.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, I remember saying, you know, I actually, it's so weird because, like, why did I say that? I said, with the spirit box going, I said, I love you.
I remember you saying that.
And the response was like, okay, back was something that comes back and says, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, you cannot get it through to people that just don't want to open their mind to those possibilities. But once you get out there and you get in that mindset, you get your energy to where it's positive, you're open-minded, you're focusing on nothing but, you know, doing right, as weird as that might sound.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you experience. Well, and I always say the same thing with paranormal investigations. You know, it's the same way.
It truly is, because that's the whole thing, right? That so many people come to all of this alien, spirit, Bigfoot, in an aggressive manner, even if it's just the idea of, like, you know, is there somebody in here, whatever. Whereas, like, Greg will address the forest, my forest friends, we are here, you know, and it's a very different approach to everything that that we have seen. And you don't see that on Finding Bigfoot. Bobo's not out there going, my forest friends, you know, he's just,
no.
it's a very different sort of thing. And you got to wonder, well, actually, I think I know the answer to this. I was going to say, you got to wonder if that approach was made on a program, would we get any different results? But I don't think we would we? Because they'd be aware of the intent. What?
The exploitation factor of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that if Greg were to do a show, Squatchman, if he were to do a show,
yeah,
and do it his way, if he was given free rein to do it his way, where he, everybody that was on that camera crew, the sound people, everybody that was there with him, was handpicked by him,
yep,
because of their energy and their focus, he might get some amazing results. Because every time we've taken new people into the forest with him, as long as they had the right energy, we had epic encounters.
I would say even having cameras pre-set up so that there isn't camera people. It's just, you know, people who are wanting to access and communicate with these beings. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like Denise said earlier in the comments, and I want to touch on something she said earlier too, but like she said earlier in the comments, we always ask.
Yep.
We say we're going to be photographing or filming. You're welcome to show up. We'd appreciate it if you would, but if you don't want to, that's fine too. And yeah, they don't like the, I firmly believe they can see IR light.
Yeah.
And like Brad just said, so, you know, you'd have to basically, you know, announce everything,
yeah,
that you were bringing to the forest, basically.
Right.
To them.
Now, what is the other thing you want to bring up? Because we have about a minute left.
Okay. She had talked about how they've been howling as we leave.
Yeah.
Twice in the last, I guess, four times that Denise and I have gone up to Fort Duffield, as we're getting to the bottom of the hill where I've chained that road closed, you know where I'm talking about.
I do.
I get out of the truck to go chain that road behind the truck, and you hear this huge, loud, long howl that we've been asking for all night, you know, and didn't get until we were leaving. And we just kind of put two and two together that last time that it happened, that maybe they're just like a sentinel alerting the others that we're leaving now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's incredible. Now, real fast, do you have any events coming up that you want to let us know
about? We actually have one coming up this weekend, Saturday night at Fort Duffield. We have the one and only Squatchman. And Denise and myself will be there. We're going to have a cookout. It's called Spirits, Squatches, and Stories Around the Campfire. We have a cookout. We gather around the fire. We tell some stories. And then we do some ghost hunting and some Bigfoot hunting.
And to find out more about that, the Facebook page is Hauntings of Fort Duffield, right?
Absolutely. Hauntings of Fort Duffield. It's a Facebook group to come in, and you can find the flyer for that. Contact me. My information is there. You can find it.
They all put on such great events, and definitely, if you're able to do so, definitely check it out. Ernie This was really cool. Thank you for taking the time and talking tonight. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. I'd come back anytime, brother. I love the show, and I like to be a part of it.
Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow with Bishop Rake. We're talking about exorcism.